The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back. Second hour is live. A couple of things we will update you on in a minute. Let me make sure you know the number, and it's 855-242-7285. And I certainly would like to hear from all of you as we continue here on this holiday week. Let's talk to Mark next in Louisiana. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Paul, I'm going to try to answer the question that you were trying to get out of the gentleman from Georgia. It sounded like 98% of what he was saying was, hell yeah, we ought to be playing football in the fall, but I never got the sense, he never answered your question directly. Paul, the other thing I wanted to bring up is this idea of this herd mentality among some of the schools like Clemson and LSU, and while that may seem smart, do you think that could be counterproductive for college football in general if the powers that be look at situations like that and say, hey, we can't even control this, you know, in our own houses?
I don't think it's a good idea, because I think when you and I'm about to, if you give me a second, I want to share something with you on that subject, because first of all, I've spoken to at least three different epidemiologists, and not one of them can guarantee that will be effective. It may not. You're dealing with an unknown virus, but there's a report that's out at this hour that quotes a this is not an epidemiologist, but he's a computer science professor that has crunched the numbers. And listen to this for a second, if you don't mind, Mark. He expects 30 to 50% infection rate of approximately 13,000 players competing in the FBS this year. This is according to CBS Sports. And based on that, he projects. Now, this sounds crazy, but this is how scientists work. He projects between 3 and 7 deaths among the COVID-19 infections. He says several would end up in the hospital in spite of their age. And this is using CDC data. And Michael Sag, who was on the show the other day, who's an infectious disease specialist in Birmingham, said that he essentially agreed with the projections, which means you can't guarantee that you'll be okay at the other end of herd immunity.
Paul, that's scary information for people who want college football.
Well,
would you not agree?
Yeah, I do, and I think the scariest thing right now, if you're sitting there in the commissioner's shoes, and they are, I mean, they have not only this information, I mean, they're looking at real numbers from every campus, but the thing I think you have to look at, if you're objective, is the numbers around you, because those are, I mean, college football is a microcosm of everything else. And, you know, Griffith did allude to that. But as long as players are going to be 18 to 24 year olds, which they are going to be, that's been proven now, you're not going to be able to control it as long as the country is spiking, and the country, unfortunately, is spiking.
Paul, if I could add, I was listening to your show yesterday early, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I don't look for you to be my moral compass. I do enjoy the hell out of your expertise and your knowledge of a conference that I love. So I didn't want to apologize, because I didn't want to seem you're a grown man. But I sure do appreciate.
Well, thank you.
What your many years has offered many of us out here, and we learn to count on it every day. So thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you for saying that, and I really appreciate it. And by the way, people can accuse me of anything. It's fine. I try to keep politics out of the show. I think I've failed badly in the last four or five weeks, because I don't think it's possible to keep it out with what's happening in the country, but I do not come into this program with a political ideology, and I never will. I try to be respectful of politicians, whether I like them or not, whether I think they're competent or not, because that's really not my job. That is everyone else's responsibility, including my own, to vote if I choose to, or see fit to it. By the way, we had some news about 2 hours ago. John Talty from AL.com reporting at this hour that the SEC Media Days, which were going to be virtual anyway 2 weeks from this week, have now been, at least for the time being, postponed. There is not a new date yet. I think they're working with a date 2 weeks after that. But I would think more than likely they are trying to get a handle on what we are talking about right here. We'll ask Barrett Salee his opinion of that coming up in just a moment. Tommy is up next. Tommy, go right ahead. Thank you.
Hey, I'm from Tuscaloosa. You were talking to the guy from South Carolina a while ago about the different school districts and things.
Yes.
Down here, and you're very familiar with Tuscaloosa County, I'm sure.
Of course.
Tuscaloosa County is very, very big. And I know I've talked to one of the bus shops. I call on them every week. They're already making two routes to get kids to school. Now they're going to have to do every other seat and make three routes. So that means that some kids will have to get on the bus as early as 6 o'clock in the morning and may not get home to as late as 6 o'clock at night. Just wanted to leave that with you on what's happening down here. And in fact, the state superintendent has left it up to each individual school district on how they're going to get the kids to school. And if you live within, say, a six-mile radius of, say, Central High School, which you're familiar with by the stadium, your parents are going to have to get you to school. Number two, I don't know if you heard it over the weekend, Christian Johnson, who used to play for Alabama, he was on special teams. He got let go from the the Eskimos or whoever are in Canada.
Yeah, the CFL.
For speaking his mind about marriage, and they cut him loose because he made opinion of it, of what he defined marriage to be. And I just, you know, worse in Canada or the United States, I just think we're beginning to lose our First Amendment rights. I just wanted to hang up and see what you thought about that.
Yeah, I heard something about, hey, thanks for the call, Tommy. I found that to be absurd, as you did. I didn't completely understand the story. I saw it for a second. As far as the Tuscaloosa County situation, I am interested in, we're here for the next couple of weeks, obviously trying to figure this out, but it is helpful to all of us. We've heard from South Carolina, a district superintendent, and somebody from Tuscaloosa. If you have, and I'm not asking for your name, or you don't even have to tell me specifically where you are, but it would be helpful to try to get a little bit of an understanding. I think the local and regional return to K through 12 is going to be an indicator of everything else. If that's returning semi-normally, I think it makes everything else easier. If it's not, then I think it's a problem. But I realize we're still not there yet. It's June 30th, but those types of information would be wonderful if you could give it to us. Our phone number, if you're driving around or at home or somewhere else, 855-242-7285. We are going to talk a little bit more about the news of the day, the possibility of the SEC Media Days being postponed. What does that mean? Does it mean anything, frankly? That is the question, and we'll talk to Barrett Salee about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome you back on this Tuesday afternoon. Should be a pretty quiet time, last day of June, but we have a lot of guests to continue, including our next guest, who is Barrett Salee from CBS. Always great to have Barrett on. Barrett, it's been too long. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. Hope you're doing well also.
We are. Let's start with a story that's only been reported, not confirmed. So it's always interesting to try to figure out what it means. If anything, SEC Media Day should be going on 2 weeks from now, virtually, of course. According to reports out there, it won't be. It's been at least delayed. You know what's going on at the SEC. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, my guess is that they don't know exactly how Media Days is supposed to fit into the new calendar, the one that was revised by the NCAA a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, if you don't necessarily know what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks in terms of players testing positive and, you know, workout regimens being delayed or stopped altogether, then it's kind of silly to schedule something, you know, like Media Days, which is an event, a television show, which you know and are a big part of. You know, I just don't think you can schedule something like that without having a little bit more of a grasp on you know, where the sport is at the moment. So I kind of always assumed that it was going to be delayed. And really, I think, you know, the idea that it could be a night primetime event, that would, I think, suffice and serve the purpose that I think it needs to serve and has served in the past, which is, you know, get people excited about the college football season. And, you know, I think having it, you know, a week or two before the season might be a better move, at least in this specific landscape. So it's not surprising at all.
Okay, so let's get to the biggest or the bigger issues, which are unanswerable, but at least you could maybe give us a roadmap. Here we are heading into July in a few hours, usually the prelude to the college football season. Where are we?
The easy answer that really requires no other analysis is I have no idea, and anybody that tells you they have an idea is lying to you, because this thing changes so rapidly, as you know, and I'm sure you're in the same boat as I am. You know, one day, one week, I think things are going to be fine. The next week, the next day, I think all hell's breaking loose, right? And we're never going to have football ever again. And then the next week, it's something in between. So, you know, I think right now, since we have players coming back to campus, you have all these positive tests that are coming through. I know the numbers are big, and obviously they jump off the page. I don't know if we can really discern what exactly that means yet, because, you know, in a couple of weeks, you know, LSU, which had, what, 30 reported tests? You know, if LSU in a couple of weeks has, you know, 30 players with antibodies and, you know, 30 others who had contracted it and they have antibodies too, then you have a pretty good idea of how this thing's going to filter through a college football program. Conversely, if it lingers and you have other people getting sick, and people getting sick in a severe way, which doesn't seem to be the case with that age group, but still could be possible, then you have a whole different reaction. So I think a lot depends on the next couple of weeks. I do think that is a reason why Media Days is, you know, is postponed for the time being, because, you know, this thing moves on a day-to-day basis. It's fluid, and I think the next couple of weeks are going to show us really a lot as to how this thing does, you know, sort of work its way through a program.
Greg Sankey was here Friday, Barrett, and he said they're working on countless contingencies, 15 to 20. I'm not interested in all 20 of those. I am interested in what you hear are the most likely scenarios. I mean, is a season beginning on Labor Day weekend, lasting until the week after Thanksgiving with the SEC championship game, still the most likely scenario?
I still think it is. Probably no fans, but I still think that starting on time is probably where, you know, they're headed at the moment. But again, all of these things are possibilities. I don't know if there's a probability at this point. You know, like you said, Greg Sankey has plan A through plan Q at this point, and you know, all of them provide scenarios for different variables. But I think if I were to guess right this very instant, which again, very fluid, I would say that I do think we start on time with some pretty stringent protocols in place for testing, you know, because there's going to have to be a, you know, a freedom of information. You know, I know HIPAA laws are what they are, but you're at least going to have to be able to communicate privately, not only to your staff, but the staffs you're playing and staffs that you just played, you know, which players are positive, what needs to be done, contact based and all that stuff. So there's going to have to be some sort of protocol in place to protect everybody if they do get started. And I think there are ways to do that, whether it be test Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday and react accordingly based on what happens, you know, whether it be informing the team that you are going to play or knowing which players are available. I think you can do a lot of those things. So I still think that that's going to be the case. But again, there are a zillion different variables that could
Chatting with Barrett Salee. I think he's still there. I'm not sure.
I'm here.
Okay, Barry, let me ask you, I know what you just got through saying, and I certainly hope you're right. Others have started to at least push the narrative. Now, others meaning people like us, about if this doesn't work, if they can't make it work, and as you say, you can't control what's going on around the country, then a spring football contingency is possible. It's always seemed unlikely to me. It's never been down to the last resort. But I'm really curious what you think about the spring possibility.
Yeah, I think it would be clear at that point that it was a revenue play and only that. Which, I mean, let's be honest, in reality, this kind of is the case anyway. But I think if you have a spring football season, then you would indirectly be acknowledging that these players are serving one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's the finance athletics department. And we all kind of know that anyway, but it would be right there in front of you. And so you would basically get a diet version of a college football season, because there's no way Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields is going to play spring football this year. You know, not if the NFL's there. So you would have some logistical issues with the NFL and that whole process. But, if you got to play, you got to play. And that would be one way of doing it. But I think if that's going to be the case, fans need to recognize that that is not going to be a college football season like you expect. It's not going to be normal. It would, in some cases, might put an asterisk next to the national champion, a lot like maybe the NBA, the NHL, and the Major League Baseball are going to all have to do this year. I personally wouldn't mind it, but it would not be anything more than a money grab, which clearly, based on the hits and the pay cuts that coaches are taking and the group of five schools canceling sports, clearly the revenue need is there.
So, I agree. It would seem like the XFL version of college football.
It would be. It's exactly right.
It would be terrible, but it would be an interesting spring. Back to this year, you said no fans. Start on time, chaos reigns. I realize any question now becomes, it's impossible to know, but I mean, what do you think it would feel like Labor Day weekend, with nobody there, and this cloud hanging over such a great sport?
It would be odd, because, I think college football more than any other sport, including the NFL, the pageantry, the fans, that all plays into its charm. And so it would certainly be a different product. And I think it would take some getting used to, or you might not even get used to it at all. But, these things by and large are television shows anyway. And again, crowd plays a part of it, but I think it would put a lot of pressure on coaches because, look, these are 18 to 22-year-old kids. Crowd noise does rattle them. Crowd noise does help them. So you're going to have to make sure that your guys are as even keel as possible, both the highs and the lows. And that's different for coaches. That's hard for coaches to do. So I think there's that aspect of it. And you'll see how that is on Labor Day weekend. I know it's public health and public safety and it's far more important than college football, but man, having some of those games on Labor Day weekend, USC, Alabama specifically, that would be so much fun to watch. But, if it happens without fans, then at least it's happening. And at this point, we kind of can't be greedy. Beggars can't be choosers.
So let me end on that, because we have a lot of fans listening right now. Give us your ballpark view of the, let's assume we're having a season, which I think you are assuming. Fans, no fans initially. Do you think we see them eventually?
I think a lot hinges on baseball right now, because it is by and large an outdoor sport, aside from, stadiums. So I think they will. I mean, again, we're all sort of amateur epidemiologists at this point, but, I think if baseball can have plans to do it, then I think college football can too. And from what I'm hearing, there are, we talk about plan A through plan T or Q for the SEC. I've heard that one of, four or five plans for baseball is to, start at $5,000 and slowly move into what could be full capacity, or, you know, 30 or 20 or whatever it is. So if I'm a college football fan, I'm paying extra close attention to what baseball does and if they have fans in, because I think for college football, really in football in general, that would be, and I hate this corporate term, the best practices. That's the one you learn from more than the others.
Barrett, I know. Normally, by this time of the year, we've asked you 1,000 questions about LSU and everything else. I mean, how difficult is it for someone like you to focus and write about college football right now with the uncertainty?
You know, it's not that different. It's not that difficult. Like, at CBS, we've been kind of cranking out the stories that we always sort of crank out this time of year, right? So it's not terribly different. Obviously, everything we write sort of has to have that cloud of uncertainty, you know, hanging over it. But for me, you know, having the ability to sort of say, all right, look, you know, having no offseason hurts LSU more than it hurts, you know, Tennessee, or it hurts Georgia more than it hurts Alabama. Like, you know, that wrinkle to, you know, normal college football offseason content is a different sort of wrinkle that has made it a little more interesting, you know, from my, you know, point of view. You know, of course, we're still, you know, we have the other content with players testing positive, which is unfortunate, and you know, that those type of news triggers. But, you know, I think for what we have and for what, you know, the college football fans, you know, have, you have a different sort of element sort of baked into preseason picks. Like, I'm not the biggest returning starters guy in the world, because sometimes those starters just aren't very good. But this year, I'm kind of one of those guys where, you know what, that might matter more this year. And that's because of the lack of spring practice and the uncertainty about what happens during fall camp.
Barrett Salee bringing some sunshine on an otherwise cloudy day on the program. Hey, Barrett, thank you very much. Great to have you on.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for having me.
You got it. Barrett Salee believes we'll have a season starting on time, fans in the stands eventually. How about that? We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Tim Brando coming up shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tim Brando coming up at the top of the next hour. Always great to have him on board. And let's check in with Mitch in South Carolina.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
Hey there. Great to have you on board.
You know that I'm a big Clemson fan. If it were proven that Dabo was a part of encouraging this herd mentality, as Phil Simms so recklessly said about prominent programs, I would have no problem. I love Dabo Swinney, but I would have no problem asking for his resignation. It stands against everything that he has ever promised every parent that sends their child to his program. So I don't believe for one minute any of these coaches are encouraging this herd mentality, as Phil Simms so recklessly put out there.
Yeah, Brando, Tim Brando is going to address that in a couple of minutes, and I think he will agree with you. No, I mean, I don't know any coach that, first of all, you're not only playing with people's lives, you're playing with the university's future. You can't afford that.
One child dying, one child ending up, and I say child, but one young man ending up on a ventilator.
You're absolutely right. Boomer Esiason said that yesterday, I believe, on New York radio.
He should be ashamed of himself.
Well, I mean, he's a moron anyway, so there's no reason to lose any sleep over. But we will get to the bottom of it with Brando coming up here in a few minutes. Let's go to Seth next in Mississippi. Hello, Seth. Great to have you on.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
We're okay. Thank you.
I just wanted to get your take on, you know, the decision to change and take down the flag in the great state of Mississippi.
I'm really happy to see it. I'm glad the governor's on board because I like the governor in the brief encounters I've had with him. And I'm not interested in refighting all the old stories about the flag. I know it's changed, but to me, it's a great state, and it's a better state with this issue behind Mississippi.
Absolutely. I agree with you, man. You know, a lot of people are, you know, a little little PO that it didn't come down to a vote on the ballot here in November. But, you know, Huawei, you know, I think
I'm usually in favor of that, but sometimes you have to go with what's happening right now, and sometimes to the detriment, I might add. But I think this decision, I think when people get past this week, they're going to realize how many people are praising Mississippi, and that's the way it ought to be.
Absolutely agree with you. You know, there's a lot of freshman representatives in the House right now. I think they're going to do some great things.
We had the former governor on yesterday. Thank you for the call. We had Governor Bryan on yesterday. I know he was there for 8 years, and it came up. And, you know, sometimes time's just not right. I mean, it doesn't make it right or wrong. It just makes it – politics is often about great timing. And, you know, thanks to Kylan Hill, this was great timing. You want to give us a ring? You can do so. Brando coming up in a minute. As I mentioned, phone number now is 855-242-7285. Peyton is in Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I just want to get your thoughts on college football players getting paid and kind of what you thought, pros, cons, potential consequences, and just kind of your thoughts on that.
Well, I don't think it's going – I think the closest we'll get to it will be when the name, image, and likeness goes into effect. I still don't know how that's going to work, but that's the first step in the water. I know that's not enough for some people. It's probably enough for me.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, like, if – well, I was wondering if, you know, if obviously the big-name players like Trevor Lawrence – the big name players are going to get more money, but what if, like, the mid round guys from the fourth to the seventh round are getting paid more money by, like, posting on Instagram or social media that it, like, discourages them from entering their name in the NFL draft? Like, have you ever thought about that or think that's even a possibility?
I mean, it is, it's an amazing unknown, and I've deferred to some experts on it in the past. But I'm okay with it, though. I mean, I'm not trying to act like, you know, things change every day. But young people today are different than they were 3 or 4 years ago. And they have the capacity to deal with this better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all for it, too. I just wonder if it's going to escalate all the, like, the money coming in from under the table that we obviously know is happening. But I wonder if it's just going to escalate that and cause – you know, more problems.
I think, in all candor, Peyton, I think there's so much cheating going on now that you may hardly know the difference. And I say that because there really is very little enforcement of the rules anymore, especially in basketball. Football is a little better guarded. But, you know, I've talked to coaches, and I mean, I'm not talking about huge numbers, but there's all kinds of things happening. And you know, it's done just to maintain the system. And I'm sure some people cringe when they hear things like that, but that's just the way of the world. Great to have you on. Thank you. We're up against a break. More of your phone calls. We have lines available right now if you want to get one. 855-242-7285. Today the big story has been the return to football. You heard Barrett Solis say he thinks we'll be there opening weekend. Others aren't so sure. SEC reportedly will delay its media days. It was scheduled for 2 weeks from now. We are coming back with more of your calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Tim Brando coming up here in a few minutes. We may even throw a phone call or two Timmy B's way, if he's okay with that. JK is in Alabama, and you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, what's happening, buddy?
How are you?
Hey, man, I can't complain. Hey, The best thing I heard from Barrett Salee in a long while, he said these kids are only being used to fund these other sports programs. But, hey, Paul, I've been listening since this pandemic thing has been going on, and I've kind of been keeping tally. And you asked about 12,816 guests the same question. When are we going to start? Mm-hmm. And nobody knows. They just don't know, Paul. We all wanted to start, but nobody knows.
Well, let me say this to you. You have been a very astute listener.
Hey, Paul, you know what? I kind of made fun of you one day when I called in about the softballs that you throw to Sankey.
Oh,
but
yeah,
when
I
you had
that.
Mike on here, you threw him nothing but heat straight down the pipe. But you won't put that kind of pressure on Sankey. Why is that, Paul?
Well, first of all, it's a fair. I admire anybody that will ask a hard question, and you just asked me a very hard question. I tried to explain it the other day, and I'm going to give it another shot. And you may not buy this answer, but I respect the commissioner. I may not always find his answers to be satisfactory, but my approach to the commissioner is this: he doesn't have to come on here and give an update every week or two, especially when he doesn't know the answer. So I am giving him the deference of the program and of his office to come on here and at least give us a roadmap. And if I ask him the same question over and over again, if he can't answer it, then what's the purpose? So I think a little bit of a roadmap is better than none. And that's why I feel so strongly about having him on.
Well, fine, Bob. I don't buy that. You know why? It's because Sankey has the power. The guy named Mike, he has no power, but you put more pressure on Mike than you did with Sankey.
No, I disagree. Allow me, hold on. Let me say this. Sankey has power, and he has more than I do, you do, and Mike does. But Mike, he is restricted by the 14 member institutions of the SEC that he can't say we are definitely going to do this until everyone is on the same page. Mike Griffith is certainly able to give an opinion, which he did not do tonight.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you a hypothetical. You may not answer. You may not have the answer. But this,
I'll answer anything you ask me.
Okay. Let's say we start the season on time. And okay. The Georgia and Alabama game don't go off as planned. Is COVID-19 going to be to blame for why the team didn't make the playoffs? Or if that game really counted because of players were tested positive? Are we going to use excuses if we start the season and then positive tests are going to be the outcome of some of these team schedule?
What you're asking is a good question, JK, and the answer is going to be I don't know, because the season is going to be like riding on a roller coaster. And I had a head coach tell me the other day. I was communicating with him, and I said, "How do you feel about the season?" He said, "I think it's going to be impossible." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you know, what if I end up playing X team, and I don't have my offensive line, or I don't have my backfield? How do you deal with that?" And everyone has to be on the same page.
Yeah, I know. But one more thing before I go, Paul, and this is addressed to Mike. Mike, the next time you come on Firebomb and you get asked a tough question, don't bring Porky the Pig into the scenario. He asked you a simple question. This is all I heard. Hey, Paul, you have a good day, buddy.
JK, thank you. I like that guy. And, you know, and by the way, I'm fair game. I like Mike. And I think sports writers have an easier time answering questions than commissioners. Greg Sankey, if he says something, it is going to be picked up and it is going to be disseminated and reverberate around the sports world. Mike Griffith is just a guy who's giving an opinion, and I've never understood why so many people now have a hard time giving opinions about something like this. I mean, I didn't ask him whether he thought we would have a season based on COVID-19 data. I asked him whether he thinks we should have one. There's a big difference. Let's continue and talk to John in Alabama. Hey, John.
Hi, Mr. Bonbon. How are you doing this afternoon?
I am well. Thank you.
I had a couple of questions, actually, and I'm going to ask them really quick, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your response.
Sure.
First question is, how do you feel or speculate on the upcoming Major League Baseball season? Do you think that if by chance they can get to a reasonable fan capacity for baseball games, do you think that would correlate over into college football for our season? And my second question is, with everything going on in Mississippi right now, as far as the state government, changing their flag up. Do you think focus will now turn to the Georgia state flag, and should it, considering that it as well is a Confederate flag, the difference being it has "In God We Trust" within the 13 stars as opposed to just the actual Confederate flag, not the battle flag.
I don't think Georgia will become an issue. And, you asked me why. I don't know why. Because part of the reason the Mississippi flag became an issue was because a player made it an issue. I still don't think if you take Kylin Hill out of the equation, we would have that flag down today. So Georgia is a different situation completely.
Agreed.
And I think, I know Georgia's had issues. I mean, of course, Georgia's had issues like every other southern state, but I don't think they're quite as identifiable as Mississippi.
Okay, thank you. And how do you feel about the baseball fans?
On that question, I think baseball could be good news for college football if they can pull it off. Basketball is to me is not an indicator because it's being played in a bubble in Orlando. So I don't think that's going to be an indicator. But I think if baseball goes well, then I think it's really good news. Now, I have no earthly idea. Baseball is a complicated sport. But it is outside, and nobody's sitting on top of each other. I'm sure they'll figure out something to do with the dugout. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Great to have you
on.
It's been a fun first 2 hours, but you haven't heard anything yet. Tim Brando returns to the program, and we're going to see if Tim will – Tim was a longtime talk show host, as everyone knows. We'll see if he'll engage with a couple of you and let him answer some questions, and we'll – have Tim on, and hopefully your phone calls in just a moment.